Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 17th. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Sundberg. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing?
It's political season. Don't give me that, how am I doing stuff. Surviving is the term I'm embracing at this point. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
and I'm not even into the weird swampy part of the program like a lot of others in the community are.
You should just do what I do and just check out.
Check is a key word. I prefer cash, however. Our why do we say it this morning is blowout. How did a feast come to be called a blowout? Any ideas, sir?
Well, I always hear like a party is the like a blowout, but I guess feast would
be kind of
a party before.
Okay. Is this a
before my time?
I don't know.
that's definitely an I don't know.
All right. A feast is called a blowout because it swells the punch. Another name for such a feast is a tuck-in, from the double meaning of putting in the food and then having to tuck in the punch in order to be able to wear one's clothing.
Well, then.
And it sounds better than engorgement.
Or retaining water.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. Oh, boy. So what's been keeping you busy lately?
What has been keeping me busy? I have just been working. Went to a gaming show last week in Las Vegas.
Did you get on the show?
It's basically.
What does Alex look like?
No, different gaming.
Different gaming.
Show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, slot machines and that kind of.
Oh, game. In Vegas.
In
what
Vegas.
A coincidence.
Yeah,
in Vegas.
It's a weird place to have it.
Yeah. Had to sample every machine.
You know what? You get to play all the machines for free, and then hit the bonuses they have. It's pretty fun. Yeah. So,
what'd you come back with?
Came back with everybody who we went with.
So when you hit the bonus, you really didn't get a bonus, huh?
No.
Oh,
yeah, well, no, it wasn't for the county. So there was
no
public funds were spent.
I thought it might be for a home, for friends,
yeah,
or at least those friends that are closer to you than other friends are.
I went for moral support.
I see.
So I just hope my wife doesn't listen to this show.
Yeah, you're.
Because she didn't go.
So cooked.
I thought you said you had to go.
And what shows did you happen to see?
I didn't see
in
any
pursuit
shows.
Of your moral support of the cause.
I didn't see any shows at all. No.
Did you go to the pawn store?
No, we talked.
You
about
didn't go
it,
to
though.
Gold, gold and silver? Oh,
no.
Okay.
No. We,
good, you're as boring as I am when you go to Vegas, huh?
You should come with me sometime.
Go to Margaritaville.
And then when you get home, you can say this. You can tell me if you say that.
Okay. So. Well, I bet you didn't drive there. That's what we did last time we went.
No, that's too far.
We found that out, too. Any lessons learned?
I know there's a reason why those casinos are built so big in Las Vegas, because people don't win.
Yeah. That's always been kind of a question. I know you kind of have a little bit of inside knowledge. Are the machines here set to about the industry standard?
Yeah.
And is Vegas at the industry standard? Or is there some kind of a variance that somebody could put in play if they wish?
Well, they can change them, but anybody can. Any casino can, but they are all set within a range of
it's
an
like
industry
a norm
standard.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. I think it's been a while since I've dealt with it, but from what I remember, it was between 92% and 97% payback was the range, and they're kind of randomly throughout the floor, and they actually have, how one person will play a machine, and then the next person plays it and hits the jackpot, and you're like, if I would have just stayed there one more minute,
I
would have won. Well, there's actually a random number generator in each machine, computerized. And it's that exact moment you hit the button where it stops in that random number generator. So because
it's like a timer.
It's just think of numbers just spinning through super fast. And then as soon as you hit that button, it stops it somewhere. And that's what predicts the outcome. And, so after 1,000 or 10,000 spins, you're going to have that exact percentage that you set it at. But it could pay out a lot more or a lot less.
In a 5-minute window.
And it doesn't matter if you're the next person playing, because unless you hit that button at the precise moment the next person would have, it's going to be a whole different outcome.
Is it the same for the larger value payouts as it is for the smaller ones?
Yeah.
And the numbers are the numbers. It just...
You just make... Yeah, it just if you hit it, you make more. If you stay there long enough, you'll lose more.
Yeah, that's, I was wondering, you know, if you had a X amount of money, whatever it was, and you were on, I know this is going back to the old days, the nickel machines versus the $50 machine or the $100 machine, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which one would generate a difference, or would it be the same?
I don't know how it used to be, because they used to not have computers.
Right. Well, in the old days, you had the mechanicalness of it, and you got real money out.
Uh-huh.
Instead of the...
Yeah, I don't know how the mechanics of those old ones worked, but I
well enough to build a whole state.
I'm sure it went from manager to manager, you know, of how they would view setting payouts on which machines and that kind of thing. But they're all within that range that I'm talking about. But yeah, they may set the $50 machines at the 97 and the nickels at lower percentage, you know, so that.
Right.
You see big winners, and probably put them on the end so people see someone winning all the time. Well, and
the bells and whistles machines?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
I miss, not that we did too much, but when we would go to conventions in Vegas, you'd hear the coins dropping.
Yeah, now it's
I miss hearing that. You know, fireworks, okay, that's cool, but it's not the same as seeing it coming down and
hitting the... Hitting the tin.
Yeah. There's just something magical about that.
Now it's just a
I've
sound.
I've been told. Yeah,
it's a sound icon now.
Yeah.
Ting, 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 ting.
You virtually won. Oh, great. Let me go get some virtual food then. KINS, News and Information Time. That's it.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, some of the different challenges, obviously, you know, with the gaming stuff, and you have knowledge of at least one of the gaming facilities in the area. Is that nice?
That's
accurate. That's about as opaque as I can get to. What is the build-out? What is the optimal? You know, Vegas is going to be different than... our area, obviously. It still stuns me that there are five in the two counties that are viable to support, which tells me there was a lot of money going to Reno and Vegas, I guess, is kind of what the message is there. But what is the optimal build-out of a gaming facility? Is it just the gaming? Is it gaming and lodging, restaurant? What is, you know, if we had flat land, plenty of land, unlimited money, what does it look like?
Yeah, so it's tough for here. We're definitely a locals casino, especially in Trinidad. We're hoping to change that a little bit in the future with a 100-room hotel that's flagged by Hyatt. And, you know, we just did an environmental assessment, and I say we because I'm part of the Trinidad Rancheria. And so an environmental assessment was finished and turned in. And one of the, I don't know if it was a mistake or if it was, they had a picture of what a Hyatt Place looks like. And it was pretty early in the process. And so they dropped the picture of a Hyatt Place in Los Angeles into the slot where the casino were on the backside of the casino.
Palm trees, the whole nine yards?
No, just the hotel. So the picture looks like this massive hotel projecting out of the ground up way up in the You know, and it, when they first started, it was somewhere, you know, around 5-6 stories. And the comments from the environmental assessment aren't finished yet, but we're very aware that the community and also the, you know, tribal membership wants something that fits in with the area.
Scaled to, well, the local area.
Aesthetically also, you know, there's colors and shapes and, you know, there's ways to make things blend into the environment that it's
so
in.
Somebody basically screwed up a little bit on this thing.
I think that's, it's just what they had
as a placeholder
when they turned in the project. And none of us really thought, well, this is what's going to be splashed all over the media, you know, and then everyone's going to freak out because they see this huge thing sticking out of the side of the hill in Trinidad. It is what it is, but we're, you know, at the end of the comment period, which is, I think it's coming up in a few weeks, what will happen, and there was also a push to get the comment period delayed, but the Bureau of Indian Affairs denied that, and so this the comment period is going forward. And at the end of the comment period, the tribe will have an opportunity to take all the comments that it's received and make changes to the project. And then at that point, I think people will see, you know, the water issue, wastewater, the aesthetics, this mass and scaling of the building, and those. I can tell you that from the meetings that I've been in, and, you know, talking to some of the tribal leaders, it's all of those are being looked at currently, and they will be addressed by the end of this process.
Yeah, and on top of that, you've got change.
Yeah, there's some people that just don't want anything different. And they say, you know, there's a group out of Trinidad that formed, and they, you know, they say, well, we don't mind if there's a hotel, but we just want it, you know, we just want it to fit in with the area. And then I hear how they talk and some of the things they say, and I'm like, I don't think they want a project at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you run into it, whether it's a small town or a larger community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Change.
Well, and Trinidad's a special place, though. You know, it's
oh, yeah,
very beautiful, and it's rugged, and it's, you know.
But the facility is kind of tucked in around the corner, and particularly with mm-hmm. the condition of the road.
Well, the
traffic going through there, there's not a lot of exposure that a lot of folks
have.
And I
don't think the traffic's going to be that much more. You know, most of the people that, when you have a hotel, people go there and stay. You know, instead of people go to the casino
and
then they have to go home.
Right.
And, you know, I think this might even be a little safer because I'm sure some people, you know, have a drink and drive home and don't, you know, it would be safer for them to stay the night.
Don't focus quite as well as we would like them to on what they're doing.
Yes.
Because they can't.
But one of the reasons why it's so special out there is also one of the reasons why this hotel, I think, is going to be successful. It is like one of the most stunning views I've ever seen. You go in the back of the casino and take a look.
You
can see all
the
way.
Yeah.
And the restaurant is more focused on the Trinidad Head. This is on the backside that goes through Moonstone, Clam Beach. You can see all the way to Eureka.
The airport. The airport.
I don't think people are going to be going, oh, that's such a beautiful view of the airport. But on a clear day,
not unless there are more flights to Denver. Then we're all going to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think, you know, it'll be the only hotel in Humboldt County that's on the ocean.
That's the big thing.
That is,
and it's almost a shame. You look at Crescent City. Mm-hmm.
It's 2018.
Yeah, four or five of them.
It's 2018. How do we not have a hotel on the ocean in Humboldt County?
Is this where I say Coastal Commission?
What?
That's kind of what I thought. That was probably the response that we got, too. What? You want to do what? I don't think
I don't know what the history is on all of it, but
I bet it is.
I mean, there's hotels up and down California, you know, on the ocean in Crescent City. So, I mean, obviously somebody knows how to do it.
You want what? KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, Murphy's Markets, and Humboldt Termite and Pest Control. Ryan, the challenge, I think, for a lot of folks in our area is to get out of and kind of see what's going on. We giggled a little bit about Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're there. You're scouting. I'm presuming you're scouting the hotel. You're looking at the economy. You're saying, okay, what parts of this could we bring home? Yeah, maybe there was nothing. Maybe there was something. Tough to tell. But if you don't get out, you really don't have that kind of opportunity. Now that it's really not germane to you, would you like to see the travel and budget for the county staff increase significantly so that we have more people out looking for ideas, seeing what's going on, and bringing those personal ideas back home rather than cruising the internets or, you know, email?
I don't think it needs to increase significantly. I was elected in 2010, and at that time, Virginia and I, her supervisor Bass and I, were on. At the same time, the county did very, very little, actually, of going out. I was actually surprised how, you know, we just kind of did our own thing here in Humboldt and went out once in a while. And I know Bonnie Neely was on the Coastal Commission and that kind of thing. But as far as going and being really involved in a lot of these CSAC and RCRC and, you know,
some of the state organizations.
Yeah. The county just, it wasn't real involved with it. And over the years that as the budgets got better, we did add more money into the travel budget. So we were able to travel a little more. And, you know, since then, you know, I got on the Coastal Commission. Virginia's president of CSAC, the California Association of Counties, and Rex is the head of RCRC, which is the rural counties. And, you know, we're definitely not forgotten in Sacramento right now, you know, from projects to funding to.
You need a stronger voice.
Yeah.
And particularly when
we are at the table.
Out in the boonies and nobody's around you,
mm-hmm.
and you're an afterthought at best, I would think that it would be an ROI to continue to have those types of things,
mm-hmm.
to let people remember, and comments or at least perspectives would be heard,
mm-hmm.
rather than.
And we have our representatives at the state and federal levels, but, you know, they have big districts and there's lots of issues, and, you know,
and
I don't think anybody can be as good of a representative as you. I mean, we know exactly what needs to be done in each of our districts. We come together and talk about it and say, okay, who's going where.
You say Central Avenue and you know exactly what you're talking about. Some guy in Sacramento or D.C.
And we all know what our roads look like and, you know, what the homeless issue is here. And, you know, if no one's telling them that, they're like, well, I guess the roads are perfect and there's no homeless issue or drug issue in Humboldt County, because
not,
no one's saying anything about it.
Or it's not a big enough deal to be concerned about.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're not there telling them, they definitely will forget about you, because there's always somebody telling them something.
So then why are you comfortable with having the budget for travel constricted?
I don't think it's constricted.
Instead of expanding.
Yeah,
well, it's one or the other. I mean,
I think it's perfect, right? I think it's adequate right now.
So just the cost of living increase and just kind of keep it at that level?
Yeah, I mean, we have enough in our budget to do the travel we need to do.
But the Coastal Commission pays for you, right?
Yeah, and RCRC pays for Rex. And
so if those are gone,
they'll still be there next year.
Okay. 2 years down the road. I know that's called far future for a lot of folks, but 2 years down the road, mm-hmm. so these positions aren't there necessarily. Mm-hmm. Does that mean we fall off the radar screen again?
I hope not. I won't be there to to say anything about it, but I hope not. I mean, I would advocate that they keep a travel budget. You know, it's, you know, it depends on what happens with the economy also. You know, if the budget has to get cut, what gets cut first? You know, you're not going to cut a police officer.
Marketing.
Well, you,
and this kind of falls under that.
Yeah. I mean, those things, you know, your travel budget's one of the ones that you cut first, because it's less painful and it's pushing off the problem further down into the future. And, you know, it's just how it works. And I hope that the economy stays strong and, you know, Measure O passes and Measure S keeps going up, and, you know, the quality of life in Humboldt County can go in a positive direction instead of a negative direction. So I won't be there to help guide that along, but I'm hoping that people
perhaps
will follow,
not
do
formally.
Well, I'll still hopefully, I'm not going anywhere, so they're still going to have to listen to me.
Yeah.
I can still be a pain in their side.
See, and you know where the painful points are now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Do you remember?
Yeah, you got all the lines. You just need the right circumstances. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Ryan Sundberg. Timing, right? The Denver flight from, you know, it's almost like we're getting up into the same league where Medford is.
Wow, geez.
They've had direct flights for years. It's always hacked me off. It's like, why
to Denver?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, you'll go through Denver and there it is, Medford. And it's like, why them, not us?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to go through the rat's nest in San Francisco? In fact, it was going to be flying out of Medford. For me. And
you're just going to go drive to Medford and then fly out?
3 hours versus 2 hours sitting there, and then who knows if you miss your flight and then all the dominoes falling in place after that. I think this is going to be as impactful as Los Angeles.
I do too. And it was pretty good. You say timing. You know, our new airport director, Cody Rogitz, came on that week when we found out, and we were all saying, Cody, you are the best.
So his trending is pretty positive.
Yes.
We'll have to see where we are by the end of the year.
Yeah, you started off with a bang. So, but yeah, we got really lucky with a new airport director that I just met with him a couple of weeks ago when he came on, and he's even more impressive after talking to him while he's here than when we interviewed him, because he's got lots of energy, lots of ideas. And I mean, part of it could be, you know, the airport has not been focused on except for, you know, a small group of people from the outside, you know, but there hasn't really been a lot of push from the inside. And it's, you know, needed an airport manager very badly.
Well, and you've got now, is it going to be an enterprise zone or a special district? Or
It's already a duty-free zone.
But as far as an economic, I keep thinking about the restaurant spot.
Yeah, that's one, you know, someone to push along those projects. Get a restaurant in there. We're doing a big solar farm out there that's going to cut the price of our PG&E bill out there by $150,000 or something like that. It's quite a bit. And then there's room out there to do many things. And you have to have someone, though, that's doing that all the time and making sure these projects are going through. And then all that, one of the things when our interim came on, he was looking through all the projects. You know, there was a bunch of projects that were just hanging out there that the FFA had approved The money was there. They just hadn't. Some of them had been done and not checked off, and some of them just needed
cleaning things up a little.
Put it over the edge, you know, and so and then reprioritize because some, you know, ACV is obviously the one that we have the most traffic going in and out of, and then Murray, and then you know, do we need the one where the helicopters go in and out for the fire to, you know, maybe the fire. Cal Fire should take that over and not have it be an expense for the county. And, you know, so someone to go through all these and really prioritize them and say, this is, you know, my experience. We need this one. Let's talk to Cal Fire about this one and, you know, move all those pieces around, you know, and that's just on the expense side. And then you have all the opportunity side for business, you know, all the way around the airport hasn't been developed. And
like you're at the federal building there, and then
well, that's not part of the airport.
Restaurant. No, there. But it just kind of in the mm-hmm. that next rim out. But you got the parking. I mean, I don't know if that's as big a concern now as it used to be, or
hey, we're working on. I mean, we're working on sprucing it up. The board just allowed $50,000 to do landscaping for the airport. You know, so we want to try and, you know, when people get off the airplane, have something nice to look at, you know, and have, you know, be something that we're proud of. And right now it's just kind of a weed patch.
We just have a fog machine there.
Well,
sometimes at least we have to use it, sometimes we don't.
At least now we have equipment on the ground and the airplanes that talk to the equipment to where it's, you know, if it's foggy, we can land airplanes.
See, all things happen.
Yeah, so we have a lot. I don't know if you noticed, there's a lot less delays for fog in McKinleyville because of that technology and the new airplanes that they're flying in and out of here.
Well, I'll find out Saturday afternoon, and then really Wednesday night when coming back.
If I get a call Saturday night,
made I'll, it out.
Yeah, or
where
I'm
are
not worried.
You?
I'm not worried about that one. I'm worried that didn't make it out. You lied.
Well, I'll keep you honest. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thanks for having me.
Have a safe trip. See you everybody tomorrow.